You've got the concept and you've got the passion, but where do you go from here? Womenpreneur Strategies for Success is here to help you learn the exact tools, mindset shifts, and proven growth strategies to build the business you want while still having a life. You've got the will. Let us help you find the way. With your host, successful entrepreneur, Smita Singh.
Hello and welcome to Womenpreneur Strategies for Success podcast. I welcome you all to another amazing episode of fun, laughter, tips, tricks, and lots of amazing tactics from you, from a bold and fearless entrepreneur herself, Maggie Patterson. With 15 years of experience working in the trenches with companies of all sizes, from big brands to solopreneurs, Maggie brings an approach to content and communication strategy that's based on experience along with proven success for her clients. She works hands-on with entrepreneurs at every stage in their business to use marketing, including storytelling, content strategy, copy that converts, and promotional strategies to get business results. This one is a knockout, guys. So be sure to link up with Maggie on social media, and you can find the show notes at womenpreneursuccess.com/Maggie. Without further ado, we are going to get right into it with Maggie. Hi, Maggie. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I am so happy to have you on this podcast. You're amazing. I love your podcast. And every time I listen to you, I have this burst of energy. I feel like, oh my gosh, you know, I mean, I just listened to Maggie. I need to go get some work done now.
So that's perfect. That's exactly what I'm trying to do on the Marketing Moxie show. I'm trying to get people into action. And that's why the show is so short. Because I'm like, no, you don't want to listen anymore. Take that other 15 minutes and do something.
Right. I mean, absolutely. I think content is perfect. It's great and on the mark, but even you, as your personality is just so, I think, you know, just let's get to the point and let's go get it.
Yeah, we don't really mince words around here.
Yeah. So have you always been like this, or have you always been an extrovert and, you know, kind of to the point?
So funnily enough, I am an introvert by nature.
Okay.
I'm really great at saying what I need to say and getting my point across, but I definitely always need that time and space to recharge and just, you know, reset, be alone with my thoughts. And, you know, it's funny, growing up, I never really knew what that was. I was like, why do I like going out, but then I have to go home and like spend two nights at home? I never really got it. And so once I finally kind of learned about introversion, I was like, oh, that's what this is.
Right. You know, I'd love to talk a little bit more about that, because I feel exactly the same thing and exactly what you said, right? I'd go out one, especially in the weekends, like I'd go out Saturday, then I'm like, Sunday, I just don't want to go anywhere. I just want to like be by myself and like do whatever I need to do. Do you think that having that both the introvertedness and an extrovertedness for your work, does that kind of conflict when it comes to social media?
I don't think it conflicts at all. I actually think for me, the fact that I know I'm hardwired to need to take like that step away. And a lot of times I think it saves me from myself. It saves me from saying the thing that doesn't need to be said. It lets me think things through and filter them. A lot of times when I'm getting like really pumped up about an issue or something, I'm like, hold on a second. And I can really kind of take that sober second thought, if you will, and be like, all right, I don't want to do like the business equivalent of like drunk dialing here. I want to be like calm and collected. And, you know, I think that that's something I've learned to do over time, because otherwise my mouth will definitely get me in trouble.
Well, tell us, maybe, has it ever happened before?
Oh, does my mouth get me in trouble? It does. This is funny. A few weeks ago, I was with a friend. This is in a personal situation. And I something she said, I took really, really personally. I took it out of context, which is not like me, but I don't know if I was tired or grumpy or what. And I really took it out of context. And I was not very kind about it after. And I really, really thought about it. And I was like, oh, you should never do anything in the heat of the moment. And I had to apologize, and we're all good. But it was a reminder. I'm like, hey, I'm human, and sometimes I'm going to lose it a little bit.
Right, right, exactly. And I think as you know, as women entrepreneurs, I think we have so much going on, not just, you know, work and home and kids. And sometimes I feel it. I'm like, oh my gosh, really? Like, I have to do this and then I have to do that. I have to make dinner and then my kid, like homework. I'm like, yep. Oh my gosh, can I just like stop for a second?
Yeah. And why is it that homework is the thing that like threatens to send us all over the edge? Like my son comes home right. And I say, okay, what do you have for homework? And I'm always holding my breath like, say you have no homework, or let it be, let it be spelling. Please don't make it bad.
Right. I know. Believe it or not, my four-year-old gets like 3 pages of homework every day. I'm like, oh, okay. And then we have these projects, and I think I'm the one doing all the projects. I'm like, you're four.
Yeah, that's
like, really?
Crazy.
We need to decorate a tie that talks about family ties, and you're four? Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah, and honestly, like 9 times out of 10, all the stuff that has to be done for school, I'm like, what's the point of this?
Right?
Like, unless it's like spelling or times tables, I'm like, there's no value in this. Let's go out instead.
Right. So what did you study in school?
So I was always the kid who was writing, and more writing. You know, I remember being about 8 years old and standing up in front of the class, and, you know, you talk about what you want to do. And I'm like, I want to be a writer. If that doesn't work, I want to be a psychiatrist, which I think some days I might be a little bit of a psychiatrist as a writer.
Right.
And you know, I really went on to study in school. I studied politics because I thought I was going to be a journalist, and I decided that was a terrible idea. And I ended up in a writing-related career. I studied communications and public relations, and literally the perfect fit for my skill set and what I love to do. So, you know, it was a good choice when I look back at all the other things I was considering, like fitness and nutrition. I don't even really like fitness or nutrition. Why would I do that?
Mm-hmm. So, but that's quite rare that, you know, you pretty much knew from the beginning what you wanted to do. And there are people that I think even now, they may be, you know, 2 years into their business, 3 years, and they're still struggling to find the real them. Do you have any, you know, tips or experiences or any guidance that you could give maybe to, you know, people that are still trying to find what they really, you know, what their true self is, what their authentic self is, to really bring it out in whatever they're doing?
See, you know, this is a great question, because one of the things we tend to do as entrepreneurs, we tend to be extreme. We're all or nothing personalities. So when we do something, we do it so wholeheartedly and so with so much gusto. Mm-hmm. That I think a lot of times we're like, no, this is it. This is the thing I'm going to do. And I think we put so much extra pressure on it to be the thing forever. And we don't leave time for us for things to evolve. You know, if you think of it in the context of a traditional career, you would have different positions. You would work at different companies. You would take on different roles. You would learn different things. And I think we have to treat our businesses and our even just our personal journey as entrepreneurs and our own personal development as this constant evolution. We're never going to have it all figured out. I mean, I look at my business over the course of over 10 years, it's evolved and changed so much, but that's been very intentional, because I leave room for new opportunities. I try not to have that like all or nothing mentality. When I do something, I always approach it as like, hey, this is a test. Let's see how this goes. Versus like throwing it all in and just like burning the money on the table and saying, yes, this is what we're doing. Try to be very methodical about it, which is not my nature. But I've also learned that the all or nothing approach is a really great way to drive yourself into the ground and feel like a big fat failure. And I think that we're so hard on ourselves. So hard on ourselves.
Yes, I agree. And I like that personal journey. You know, it is, and I think we develop as we go, you know, through maybe one, you know, we work with one client and we figure something out about ourselves, or maybe we go through one particular aspect of your journey. But how can, I really want to drill down to see if there are any particular tools or maybe like really practical strategies of how you can maybe sit down and figure out to say, okay, this is, I think, what I like to do, and maybe this is what I should try. You know?
So I think this comes down to what one of my friends calls the sweet spot. It's the it's that like beautiful place that intersects where the thing you want to do and the needs of your audience intersect. And sometimes what we want to do and what people are willing to pay for don't match up. So then we create this business around the thing we absolutely love and we're so passionate
Correct.
About. And
Correct.
That's when it's really hard to have success, because if you haven't done your research, if you haven't talked to people, if you haven't made sure they want your thing or whatever it is you're mm-hmm. offering, you're just creating this situation where you're going to be stuck. So I think it's a matter of just backing things up and being like, hey, here's all the things that I'm really, really good at. And not only things you're really good at, what have you mastered? If you want people to pay you for a course, a program, a service, you better have done the work to master that. And I think, especially mm-hmm. if you're running an online type business, it's very easy to say, well, I'm a whatever. And it's like, why would anyone believe you? What have you
right.
actually mastered? Have you done the work with multiple people before you try to be selling it to people? So I think, you know, understanding like what you're really good at and then what you've actually mastered, and then what do people actually need, want, are they looking for? You know, there has to be a market mm-hmm. need. It's simple, you know, grade 11 economics class, supply and demand. If there mm-hmm. is no demand, there's no point in you supplying it.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, I think that brings me to a kind of mindset that a lot of people have, which I think they really should change, is about the whole overnight success, right?
Yeah.
I think, you know, and you've done this, Maggie, for like 10 years, and you have built that authority, you've built that, you know, that name. And sometimes when I talk to clients and, you know, people who are just entering, they're like, I want to be this expert in like the next 6 months. I'm like, dude, okay, calm down a little bit. You know, that's not how it works. And I think people tend to think that it's easy and it's done in 2 months. How have you evolved? And, you know, in the 10 years that you've been doing it, what are maybe some of the biggest lessons that you've learned?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So there's so many lessons, but probably some
right.
of the biggest ones. Like when I started off, literally all I wanted to do was make $4,000 a month. I was like, my husband mm-hmm. and I put together a budget, and that was, I mean, it was less than what I was making in my, you know, big fancy job with the title mm-hmm. and awesome salary. But we just like, in terms of our lifestyle and like maintaining what we wanted, we're like, okay, if you can just make $4,000 a month, and we mapped out a business plan where we were literally like, I had 9 months to do this or I had to go back to work. And mm-hmm. unfortunately, I was able to do it, you know, much quicker because I went to what I knew people actually wanted. Was that work that I was like so completely in love with? No, it was a means to an end for me to be able to start off in this journey. So I think you have to be prepared to sometimes do things that are not the most glitzy or glamorous. Like, I didn't love filling out a form for my clients' trade shows to order blue carpet, but I was like, hey, you're going to pay me for this and it's related to what I do. I will totally do it. And I think that, you know, you need to be able to say yes a lot in the beginning before you can say no later on. I think everyone wants to get to the point where like, oh, I have boundaries, I don't do that. But like mm-hmm. sometimes you're just going to have to do the work. And I think that from there, you know, being willing to do the work, that let me evolve to being pickier about clients later on. And then eventually saying, okay, you know what, this is not the type of work I want to be doing anymore. I want to work with different types of businesses. And because mm-hmm. I had that track record, it was a very seamless transition because people were like, oh yeah, she totally knows what she's talking about mm-hmm. versus, you know, the overnight success. I think it's every time I see one of those overnight success stories, oh, I made six figures in my first launch or whatever the case is, I feel like it's so damaging because we're talking right. literally those stories is like the 0.00000000 add some more zeros, 1%. It's like mm-hmm. two people a year out of tens of thousands. So I think that perspective of like being like, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm doing this slow and steady. I'm doing this the right way. And getting really focused on delivering great results, getting focused on what actually truly matters, doing work that lights you up, not getting obsessed with like some arbitrary number that someone tells right. you need to earn. And I think that understanding those things has been a big lesson for me. I mean, my value does not come from how much money I make. Don't get me wrong. I like to make a good, healthy living, but you know, that's not the only way I'm defining success.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that because it's so true, especially what you said about comparing, right? Because we tend to compare ourselves with every other person that's doing better than us, at least at that particular point. And unfortunately, what people don't see is maybe even the time that they've put in. They just see, okay, well, they had a, you know, six-figure, seven-figure launch, but maybe they actually worked hard for 2 years, you know, or maybe, yeah, they just got lucky and, yeah, they're done in like, whatever, 6 months. But I think, go ahead.
I kind of feel like with all these success stories, I'd like the online equivalent of the like True Hollywood story that tells us all the like 97 pieces like underneath the surface we don't see, because it's easy to be like, oh, that was an amazing result. Well, they also didn't tell you they spent $50,000 on Facebook ads or whatever the case is. Like, there's a lack of radical transparency there.
Correct. And that is so true, because I was talking to somebody, and I can't remember when, but you know, they had made, I think, almost like $80,000 or $90,000 in their first launch. And if you put together all the advertising, all the costs, all the VAs, everybody that worked on it, I mean, there was hardly anything left. So, you know, it really, that's right. I think we tend to just look at although you should look at the bigger picture, but I think we just tend to look at the result more than the process. And I think that's absolutely, I think that's important.
Completely.
Awesome. So tell me, you started as a copywriter.
Oh, I'm many things.
Yes.
So I actually started my career, like when I very, very first started out, I started actually, no one can laugh, I was doing event planning, which we determined very quickly was a horrible, horrible fit. I'm so not cut out for being at a trade show for 4 days and talking to people the whole time and making sure, like, you know, oh no, this is missing. Like, that's just not my zone of genius.
Right.
So I quickly, from the event planning side of things, I flipped over into like more the communications part of things. And I literally spent my career, you know, writing, doing a lot of, you know, outbound communications, whether it be, you know, trying to generate leads or communicating with stakeholders or, you know, public relations. And from there, you know, it's just kind of morphed into focused really at the highest level on communication strategy and then the copywriting piece, because ultimately hiring a copywriter, working with a copywriter, it doesn't matter if you don't have the strategy to back it up, if you don't know what the story, the message, the voice, and all those pieces are.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about copywriting. You know, copywriting is amazing. And I know, you know, nowadays with all the content marketing, it's the most important piece, I think. After, of course, you know what your strategy is. So let's talk about, you know, maybe something that a lot of people struggle with. And I think there was a point when I struggled with it myself in the beginning was, there's a difference between knowing what you want to present to the audience versus having it translate into value. You know, how does it really help your audience? Tell me a little bit about, you know, how can people go about really figuring out their messaging to make sure that it provides value to their audience?
So the absolute easiest way to do this is, when you're going to create a piece of content, whether that be an email, a blog post, a podcast episode, whatever it is, start with the end in mind. Because if you don't know what your goal is, if your goal is to convert people to subscribers, or is the goal to, you know, prime people to answer questions about your biggest service so they feel more apt to buy when you offer it, knowing that goal lets you step back and actually reverse engineer your content. So many times we're so focused on like, I just need to get this blog post done, that we're not thinking about like, what's the thing I want people to learn? What action do I want them to take? And we're just creating content for the sake of creating content. I think you're much better off to create less content with very, very clear goals. It's very intentional, well thought out, and a very clear next step for people versus like, hey, I'm just throwing it out there. So I think, you know, when it actually comes to creating your content, get clear on your goal, figure out what it is your audience needs to learn, what's that next step, and then from there you're able to actually write something or create something that's useful and hits the mark. And then the other thing, I always encourage people to think about, you know, I call them the E's. So is this designed to educate? Is it designed to entice them into doing something? Is it designed to entertain them? Get really clear on why you're creating the content and what kind of vibe you want it to have versus just like looking at the blank page and like letting it unfold. Again, you know, being really thoughtful about it makes a huge difference in how impactful that content can be.
Neat. I like that, the goals. And what about if you, when you put your content together and you have a goal in mind, but it feels salesy?
Oh, yes. Okay, so I have a great reframe with sales, and I actually was just teaching this a few weeks ago. I think it's really, really important for you to understand when it comes to sales that you are way, 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 way more concerned about being salesy than anyone else. I think you need to find what's in alignment with you. Everyone's going to have a threshold for, you know, quote, how aggressive they're going to be with their sales. But I think you really need to understand that when you're selling something, it's not about selling something. You're not like a used car salesman. You're offering a problem to a solution. And if you don't offer that problem to a solution, no one's going to know about it or be able to help them. So when you kind of think of like your sales from the perspective of like, how can I serve my audience? How can I best provide them with what they need? How can I help them solve a specific problem? All of a sudden, it gets a lot easier to sell. And, you know, you don't have to be aggressive. You don't have to be pushy. You can do this in a way that's soulful and thoughtful and kind and actually like insanely practical for people versus being like, buy my stuff, buy my stuff, buy my stuff. I think the other thing is to, you know, make sure you have a good mix of free value added content before you start making an offer. I think see a lot of people, like literally you'll see this pattern. They blog for 3 weeks before, or they do a webinar or whatever it is. They do free content very specifically, and you can see it leading into something. And people are smart. People like to do business with people they like. And if you are constantly providing them with great value, they're going to be way more apt to purchase from you in the long run. And I do think that more and more people are looking for a real human connection in this crazy online world. So if you can show up and be human and add value and give them what they want, it's going to make selling to them so much easier.
Nice. I like that. Can you tell us, can you give us maybe any tools or any books maybe that people can read to hone their craft of writing content?
Okay. So my probably my favorite copywriting book is called Everybody Writes. Is that it? Yeah, I think that's what it's called.
Yeah, isn't that by Anne Hathaway?
Yes, yes. And yes. What I like about this is it's like little like bite-sized lessons. So it's something you can pick up and put down, and it's something you can shape over time. And then if you want to get like a little step it up a bit book-wise, I would go with something like Cialdini's Influence. It's a classic talking about persuasion. Again, persuasion is not sleazy. It's just understanding how people function and how do you actually meet their basic human needs.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Awesome. And I'm going to ask you a very oxymoronic question.
Go for it.
Okay. So, and I think I heard your podcast episode on this and I was like, wait, I need to ask Maggie this. So, you know what the About Me page is supposed to be about me. So why should it not be about me?
We need to, okay, I'm just going to put it all out there. We need to rename the About page. So
that's right.
When it comes to the About page, what we tend to do is, well, my name is Maggie and I come from here and I do this. And it's like, we're totally missing the point. Reframe your About page. So it's not about you. So it's about the people you're serving, for the audience. So if I show up in an About page and the first thing I learn about you is I went to Harvard, that's not great. It's impressive you went to Harvard, don't get me wrong. But what I really want to know is the answer to this question, what's in it for me? If you can't hook me by answering what's in it for me, I'm unlikely to keep reading on, or I'm going to read on and be like, whatever, I don't really care about them. So, you know, when you're actually creating your About page content, you want to frame it from the perspective of what's in it for me, and then tell your story from the perspective of what your clients need to know to know, like, and trust you and actually want to do business with you or continue following you. I think that's the easiest thing. Putting this whole life story on there is not serving anyone well.
So let me ask you this. We, a few moments ago, we were just talking about how people want to make that connection with you, right? And they want to get to know you. They want to know your authentic, you know, yourself, what you did, all of that stuff. So would that not be more of when I go onto your about page, I would like to know what you are versus what you are bringing to the table or what your value is, because that I'm reading in your blog posts anyways.
You know, it's a good question. Think of it this way. Your about page is your first date. And you're not going to get all naked on your first date, I would hope at least. So think of it from the perspective of like, how do they, what do they need to know to continue on? You can definitely talk about yourself. Don't, you know, that's not the point. But think about it from the, you know, the first time you meet someone, what are the questions you want answered? What are the things I want to know? I don't necessarily, the first interaction with someone, need to know about their long lost stories. I think from a storytelling perspective, we're all conditioned to want to tell these like epic stories or like this big, oh, my rags to riches story. And the truth is that your story is going to be way more impactful if you can keep people engaged. And that means sharing littler stories more often. So weaving them into your blog posts, weaving them into your podcasts, you know, wherever you're creating content, creating those little opportunities to form that human connection on a sustained basis versus like, here's my whole story. Hope you can get wrap your arms around it and understand it.
Okay. Neat. All right. I thought that was a very interesting take on it because, you know, it's something different because 90% of About Me pages is about me, right?
Yep.
So I think, I think I'm going to try that to see what, you know, what I guess impact or what changes. And I really like that. I would encourage everybody to go hear it because I did like the ending where you said that you should have an action, you know, to it. So what do you want them to do after you they read about you?
Yeah, do you want them to check out services? Do you want them to subscribe? Your about page is one of the most visited pages on your site. So, like, don't botch that opportunity to invite them to do that next thing with you.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Maggie, for that. That was awesome. All right. And I'm going to ask you before we get into our lightning round, what is your success factor?
Oh, my. I think, honestly, that feels really like, I feel like my ego is going to go on a trip here.
Go for it.
Honestly, I think for me, the biggest success factor is I literally just show up and do the work. And it sounds like so boring, but I show up as myself. I show up and deliver value to my clients. I do what I say I'm going to do. And, you know, this, I've experienced a lot of growth in my business this past year. And it's literally been that sustained effort every single day versus like, well, I showed up for 2 months. Why isn't this happening? And I also think just giving some space to constantly redefining like what I want out of this business, what I want this business to be, what value I want it to deliver my clients, you know, creating longer term vision so that what I'm doing today can actually support where I want to be in the future versus just kind of letting things happen to me.
Perfect. Love that. Awesome. Are you ready now for a lightning round? Awesome. All right. So Maggie, what trophy would you want on your mantle?
Oh, I want one that says Maggie was an awesome person because above all else, I just don't want to be a crappy person. Like, you know, no money or fame or I'm just not interested in those things. I just want to be like a solid human.
Mm-hmm. I like that. And what is your guilty pleasure?
Lifetime TV movies. I love the utter ridiculousness of them.
Uh-huh. So do you ever procrastinate?
Oh, completely. Yeah. Procrastinate, usually with a Lifetime movie.
Right, exactly. So let me ask you, what makes you stop procrastinating?
The reality is that I usually have to have a talk with myself and I'm like, okay, Maggie, it's time to get in action. But I also have learned that sometimes procrastination is a sign that it's just not time to do the thing you think you're supposed to do, especially when it comes to writing. Sometimes I have to wait for inspiration to show up.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And what are you currently reading?
I am currently reading Why Not Me by Mindy Kaling. I'm about halfway through and I like she's like my celebrity crush. So
yeah.
I want to be her best friend. I love her.
Awesome. And what is your one productivity hack?
My biggest productivity hack right now is I have been scheduling what I call buffer time. It's from the book, The 12-Week Year. And buffer time is essentially time to check my email and faff around on Facebook. And trying to keep those in contained buckets has definitely made me more productive because I'm like, oh, you can't do that right now. It's not buffer time.
Nice. And what is your personal motto?
Get it done.
Absolutely. And show up, right?
Yeah,
you're doing amazing at it. Consistency.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Awesome. And what would you do differently if you were given another chance?
Oh, I love, love, love this question. So the one thing I would do differently is I think I would switch out of a freelancer mentality to more of a CEO type mentality sooner. It took me a really long time to realize there was far more potential in my business. And that really took a pretty monumental mind shift for me. And I would definitely do that much, much sooner in my journey.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Awesome. Thank you so much, Maggie. And how can people get a hold of you?
So the best place to find me is always maggiepatterson.com. That's where it's all happening. And if you love podcasts, I would love to have you listen to the Marketing Moxie Show, which you can find on iTunes.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.
This concludes another episode of Womenpreneur Strategies for Success. Be sure to visit us at womenpreneursuccess.com so you don't miss any of our tips from some of the industry's leading entrepreneurs, investors, and business owners. Remember, you've got the will. Let us help you find the way. Until next time.